Oh, Wisconsin lost at Nebraska 44-25. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell about Wisconsin's 10-game winning streak over the Cornhuskers coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, it's a part of the game, unfortunately, that we've had to go through far too many times this year. And, you know, we did not play, you know, together. We did not play complimentary football today at all.
NFL, the Packers host the 49ers, a recap tonight. Women's college volleyball, the Nebraska team beating the Badgers in Lincoln in three straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies, east winds, and highs near 40 degrees today. Tonight we'll see snow developing. It could briefly have a little rain with it as well. Lows in the upper 20s. On Monday, a rain-snow mix, mid-30s. Any kind of accumulation under an inch. Currently 26 degrees.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford. Huntworthgear.com. And by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and Green Bay. ProfHearingCare.com. I'm Dan Small, fighting a little head cold here on the opening weekend of gun deer season. Today, duck hunting the Mississippi, supporting wildlife habitat management, and Len Harris on Hunting with Dad. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupie and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupie and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupie and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupie.com. And all 11 offices of Hupie and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Well, Jeff Kelm joins me again from Wisconsin Rapids. Jeff, how are you doing?
Doing okay, Dan. Plans have changed a little bit for deer hunting. Unfortunately, we got hit with pertussis, which probably people know more so as whooping cough.
Oh, yeah.
In the house. And just one of those things that you got school-age kids that's got a chance of happening, between that and mono and all the other things that they can bring home. But yeah, so we're not going to deer camp this weekend. We're going to hunt here around home. But that's okay. There's deer here, and we'll have deer camp up north in Douglas County next weekend.
Well, very good. Well, gosh, you and I are both fighting something. I've got a head cold and a little throat action going on here, but I'm heading north to Bayfield. We're recording this on Friday morning. I'm heading up as soon as we're done, and John and I are going to hunt our land, his land now, on the weekend, because he's starting to see bucks in person and on the trail cameras. And then we may go down to a friend's in Dunn County and see if we can't put a doe or two on the meat pole to get some venison anyway. Now, I've been shooting the Serpent Arms 550L air gun both for pheasants and as a rifle. The rifle is a 45 caliber, and I plan to hunt with it this weekend. It's a different animal, I'll tell you. Last weekend, after I dropped the boat off at Cedar Lake Sales, I went pheasant hunting with Lauren Voss and Bob Langniar and Jeannie DeBano. We started out on public hunting ground in Sheboygan County, and we saw one rooster near the end of our first hour. But after an hour of walking and seeing one bird, which Lauren shot after Bob and I missed it, I had this great revelation that, hey, we're not too far from the Highlands Hunt Club, where I used to go quite often with TV crew. So I called TJ Summer, and he was watching the deer show when I called him on Saturday morning. And nice. I said, hey, we're on public hunting land here and not seeing much. And he chuckled, and I asked him if he had a field open this morning. because, you know, I mean, you don't call a hunt club on Saturday morning and often get a field. And he said, sure, get your butt over here. So so we did. And he put 10 birds out in one of the fields, and we had two dogs, Bob's dog and a Bob's black lab we've hunted with before, and a yellow lab Jeannie was babysitting. Well, the dogs had a field day, and I don't know if you've hunted planted pheasants with dogs that are not used to hunting planted pheasants. But
no, not necessarily.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they did their job, but, you know, they get too much scent, and they were busting them left and right. Anyway, to make the story short, we ended up with six birds out of that field. And I actually got one with the air gun and shot at a couple others, but the others also shot at them. So I'm not sure who got what. But I know I killed one with the air gun, so that was fun.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, and I wore my Red Wing leather boots this time. You know, I got a pair of Red Wing Irish Setter Vapor Trek hunting boots to review, and I wore them in October walking in the woods when John and I checked our tree stands and trail cameras, and then 3 weeks ago on a pheasant hunt, and I'll be wearing them this weekend for the gun deer hunt. They're lightweight, waterproof, and really comfortable. And they don't need breaking in, which is really cool. They fit like old friends right from the start. And you know what that's like with a pair of boots.
Absolutely, yeah.
But they've got a rugged lugged sole that wraps around the front of the toe. And that's great in the woods. I'll wear them deer and turkey hunting. But in tall grass on a pheasant hunt, you can imagine what that was like. The rubber lugs just kept snagging in the canary grass. So great in the woods. Sure. But a better choice for pheasant hunting is an all-leather boot. Yep. Anyway, so, and I wore my leather Irish Setters without the rubber wrap last weekend and was fine walking in the grass. Well, coming up, we'll catch up with Mark LaBarbera and some friends in a duck blind on the Mississippi River. Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin Executive Director David Clutter talks about the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund. And author Len Harris shares some stories from his latest book, Yesterday and Tomorrow. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
Every year there are commercials reminding everyone to hunt safely. But the truth is, it's not up to everyone. It's up to you. Treat all firearms as if loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target and what's beyond, and keep your finger outside the trigger guard until it's safe to shoot. Hunting safety is up to you. Don't just be aware of these safety measures, follow them. Safe hunting is no accident. Learn more from the Wisconsin DNR at dnr.wi.gov.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with Professional Hearing Care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Fuel your savings with Bush Hog and Nemeth Implement. Check out these deals on their 100 series single spindles. The single spindle 200, 300, 400, and 500 series as well. See selected flex wings, hay tools, and tillers. See the whole line of Bush Hog where quality meets affordability. If it doesn't say Bush Hog, it just won't cut it. See them at NemuthImp.com, N-I-E-M-U-T-H, NemuthImp.com, or go to their showroom just south of Medford on Highway 13 in Stetsonville. Get fired up, folks. Freeze Firewood and Phillips is starting their winter firewood sale now through March 1st. This is the best time to stock up on your 2025 firewood needs. Wood for your home, your cabin, camping, your hunting shack in the woods. Freeze Firewood takes pride in top-notch customer service and are happy to be your premier firewood supplier in the Northwoods. Call 715-567-0616 and see Freeze Firewood on Facebook.
Good luck this season while you're after the turdy pointer. If you find yourself in pursuit of your own piece of land, or you're looking for a home in the area, or maybe you're ready to sell, reach to Northwoods Realty. We are the area's largest all-encompassing brokerage. Top-notch communication all the way while hunting for the perfect property, sealing the deal, then providing management services should you turn your purchase into a rental advancement. At Northwoods Realty, we sell dreams. Visit northwoodswi.com.
Sherry's Pub and Grub on Highway 70 in Minocqua is your haven for the home cooked. Order the perfect classic cheeseburger or mix it up with cream cheese and green olives. And who needs tater tots when you can level it up with tater kegs? Wait. There are Reuben tater kegs? I'm going to Sherry's right now. Sherry's Pub and Grub on Highway 70 in Minocqua. I'll see you there.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. You hear duck calls in the background, and this is opening weekend of Wisconsin's gun deer season. But some people are still hunting ducks, and I'm talking right now live a couple days before gun season with Mark LaBarbera. He's on the Mississippi River somewhere there. Mark, can you hear me?
Yeah, Dan, we're out of the wind and in the comfortable boat blind.
Okay, and where are you, if I may ask?
Well, you may ask, and I'll tell you that we're on the Mississippi River, where anyone could go. It's open to the public, of course, in the beautiful Upper Mississippi River Wildlife Refuge. But I think the folks here would prefer if I did tell you exactly what pool we're on or where we're hunting.
Okay, you are hunting the big river. You've been out there now 2 days, right? How's the hunting?
It's been fantastic. It seems to be a little bit different than here in the past, but everyone adapts to it, and we're getting steady shooting.
And what are you seeing for ducks?
Unbelievable, the number of species available on the Mississippi. We have in the boat already 4 different species at least. We've got ringbill, we've got canvasbacks, we've got beautiful buffalheads, we've got teal. Yesterday we had mallards also and some other species. It's just a great resource out here.
It certainly is, and that sounds like an interesting mix of divers and puddle ducks. You usually don't see that kind of combination.
Right. Mississippi is always going to please you.
Now, you've been hunting there quite a bit this fall.
Yeah, since retiring, I decided I'm going to spend a little bit more time doing the things I enjoy. So being in the deer stand, being in the turkey blind, and being out on the river are some of my favorites.
And you've already put one buck in the freezer, I understand?
I did, and there's still room for more.
Yeah, well, and the gun season will be fast upon us here. Now, you've got some friends there with you. Let me talk to them. How about your guide, for starters? What's his name?
Joe Van Dyke. Pass the phone down to him.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Now, you've got four hunters with you today?
I do.
That's quite a group. Is that the usual number of people you hunt with?
That would be the typical number of people I hunt with, yes.
Okay. Have you been hunting every day this season?
I've been hunting the entire month of November.
Is the hunting better in November than in October?
I don't know that it's any better, but we like to go after the diver, and the best diver hunting tends to be in November.
Okay. And what have you got out for a spread of decoys?
We've got a mix of hookback, bufflehead, and some mallards out there.
Okay, and you mix in the mallards with the divers?
We mix in some mallards with the divers because it's pretty common to see mallards feeding in with a canvasback when you see the large rafts out here.
Now, the cans have come back in recent years, haven't they?
They have, yes. When I started guiding, we couldn't even do cans.
Yeah, I remember those days. I had one hunt, oh gosh, it was probably 30 years ago, where we got a couple cans on the Mississippi, but I understand people are doing very well on them this year.
Yeah, and that's probably the duck that most guys like to come and see, that most people don't get a chance other than when they come to the river.
Now, you guide with another fellow, don't you?
Yeah, with Muddy Miss Guide Service, with Eric Moulton.
Yeah, I know Eric. I've not hunted with him, but I've worked a couple of banquets with him. He's a good guy.
Yes, he is.
How are your hunters today? How are they doing?
I think they're doing pretty good. They've got smiles on their faces.
Yeah?
Got a couple nice trophy birds here.
Very good. Well, I'm going to ask to talk to somebody else there. I understand you got Jeff Whitcup with you. He's a fellow Mark and I worked with several years ago. Why don't you put him on?
I will do that. Here you go. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing great this morning. Thank you.
You've got a good day out there. It rained all night. I don't know what it was like where you are.
Yeah, it was a steady rain, a lot of wind, but it started to light up rain-wise this morning, and the birds have been flying since daybreak.
Nice. Now, Mark told me that you're a kind of a recent convert to duck hunting.
I am. This is actually only my second year. My youngest son, Grant, got me started last year. So we've been coming to Mississippi with Mark the second year, and it could be an annual tradition.
All right. And how's Grant doing?
He's doing great. He's knocking his birds down. He has the most ammo left, so I think he's winning.
Okay. Put him on there for a second.
We'll do. Hey, this is Grant. How are you?
Grant, I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good.
So what is it about duck hunting that you find appealing?
I love being able to be hunting, to talk to people I'm hunting with, friends and family, compared to other sports with big blind.
Yeah, it's a different scene when you're in a duck blind because you can talk as long as the birds aren't coming in close.
Yep.
Aren't you supposed to be in school these days?
Maybe.
we won't tell your teachers that you're taking a weekday off to go duck hunting.
Alrighty.
You have to get up early to go duck hunting on the Mississippi. How does that work for you?
I don't mind too much. I have a lot of fun duck hunting, so it doesn't bother me.
And you think your dad is hooked enough that he'll go with you now?
Oh, yeah. He's getting up regardless.
Yeah. Well, great. You've got one more hunter out there, Michael Williamson. Whoops, somebody just shot.
Good shoot. Sorry about that.
Hey, no, that's what you're doing. Is Michael available?
Yes, Michael is available.
Hello, Dan. This is Michael.
Michael, how are you?
I just shot a bird, man. I'm going great. I'm originally from North Carolina, and I grew up fishing all my life, but I only got into hunting the last 10 years or so, and I've never been
that's wonderful. What did you just shoot?
I think that was a bluebill. A bluebill.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yeah, one of my favorite ducks for sure. So you have done a lot of hunting, but this is your first duck hunting trip, I understand.
First duck hunt. 10 years ago, I started hunting. A deer hunt, a turkey hunt, and a squirrel hunt. I've always wanted to do waterfowl hunting, and fortunately, I've been able to do that the last 2 days.
Do you think you'll do it again?
I know daggone well I'm going to do it again.
And I understand you're active in the Natural Resources Foundation.
That's right. I'm on the board for the foundation, and we do environmental education, we do habitat, and we do species work across the state.
Yes, I'm very familiar with the foundation. In fact, on this week's show, I've also got your director, David Clutter, on. I'm going to be talking to him a little later, but he'll be on the same show as you.
Oh, great. That's excellent. Yeah, David's a great guy. He does a good job leading the organization.
Yes, he certainly does. Well, I won't keep you much longer, Michael. I imagine you want to get back to the shooting, so why don't you hand the phone back to Mark, and good luck to you, and thanks for talking with us.
Hey, well, thanks for having us on.
You're quite welcome.
Hey, Dan, you couldn't have timed the call any better. These guys are right on.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I saved Michael for last, because he shot a bird right there, and I can sense his excitement. It's always fun to be in a duck blind, and it sounds like you guys are having a great hunt.
Yeah. You know, there's something special about being able to share a blind with friends and family and have that social aspect like Grant was talking about. Kind of thing that doesn't always happen when you're hunting, like walking for pheasants or going solo for whitetails.
Absolutely. Well, I'll let you get back to the hunting. Thanks for taking a couple minutes out to talk with us, and good luck to you and everyone else there for deer season coming up.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. That was Mark LaBarbera along with Michael Williamson, Jeff and Grant Whitcup, and Joe Vandehei live on the Mississippi River a couple days before deer season. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters. Northwoods
weather. I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies, east winds, and highs near 40 degrees today. Tonight we'll see snow developing. It could briefly have a little rain with it as well. Lows in the upper 20s. On Monday, a rain-snow mix, mid-30s. Any kind of accumulation under an inch.
It's 27 at our studios. 98Q
Country. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small, and joining me now is a fellow we've had on the show a number of times before. He's a book author and an outdoor writer. His name is Len Harris. He lives in Richland Center, Wisconsin, and Len is a well-known trout fisherman and writer about trout fishing in the Driftless area. He's written several books on trout fishing. We talked to him earlier this year about his latest book, Yesterday and Tomorrow. And we just kind of ran out of time, so I thought he could join us again now as deer season is upon us to talk about his book and trout fishing and deer hunting, spending time in the outdoors with family, and other things that he writes about. Len, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
Well, gosh, your book is a little book, but it's such a treasure. The trout fishing, of course, is the main focus, but I want to focus more on family and the outdoors, because your first chapter there kind of sets the tone. It's called The First Fall. Tell us what that chapter is about.
Well, it was the first fall after my dad died. And it was going through grief and really not understanding it terribly well and just marking time. And I ended up the story with going out into where my dad and I used to squirrel hunt and just sitting down there for a while. The fall leaves were rustling and the squirrels were barking. And it was like him talking to me, saying, it's time to move on.
Hmm. And you did.
Yes, I definitely did. My mother actually wouldn't allow me to hunt until I was 18 years old. She wouldn't allow me because my dad died when he was deer hunting. He had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
He was only 40 years old, and it was really cold conditions, and he drug a deer out of the woods, and he had a clot form, and it shut him right down.
Wow. So your mom was protecting you from what she feared might be a similar fate.
She worried about me, and she always envied my dad's time out in the outdoors. She told me that he did it as an escape, and that six children, he should have been home more, and she equated the outdoors to time away from the family.
But it was time with you. You have five sisters, if I count right, and you were the only son, correct?
Correct. I was the only son, and the outdoors actually kept me out of trouble. especially down below the dam in Gay's Mills. My mother would keep me in fishing lures, and she knew that if I was busy fishing, I wasn't getting in trouble.
Uh-huh. Your dad appears several times in the book as a memory, quite often when you're fishing or just sitting in the woods. Talk about how important his memory is to you. Now, he died when you were 10. That was a long time ago.
Well, the outdoors were a teacher to me, and my dad was my first teacher of the outdoors. When we went fishing or we'd go squirrel hunting, he'd identify, that's a hickory nut. That's the tree it came from. This is what it looks like in the shell. This is what it looks like out of the shell. He would point out wildflowers. He would always preach, don't take more than you can eat. It was seared into my whole being, and that's part of the reason why I write. I try to pass on his lessons to the rest of the world.
Yes, and you do that well in these short stories. On one of your Facebook pages, and folks, he has two Facebook pages. One is his name, Len Harris, and the other is The Stream of Time. And Len, on one of these pages, you talk about butternuts and becoming a new Johnny Appleseed of sorts.
Well, I was talking to one of my friends that I had introduced to Crawford County, John.
That's John Motoviloff, right?
I met him 30 years ago in Madison, and I wrote down a property that I thought he would like around Crawford County, right near my hometown, and he went out and toured it and bought it, and he still owns it, and he hunts there, and part of the reason I knew it was there is because that's where I first went squirrel hunting, and the draw behind his house was loaded with butternut, hickories, walnuts, and that was where one of my first lessons was taught about this is this tree, this is that tree, and we went squirrel hunting, and I was too little to hunt. I went along to basically walk around the tree so I would scare the squirrel to the other side so my dad could harvest it, and I got to carry them. I had taught how to clean them, and my mom taught me how to cook them.
Like you, I was my dad's bird dog, so to speak, when he squirrel hunted or pheasant hunted before we had dogs. And I got to carry them, and you and I thought that was cool, but Dad, of course, thought it lightened the load for him, and it was easier for him to hunt then, right?
Right. My mom used to always say, my dad's name was Len also. She would say, Lenny, the only reason you're taking that youngin' with you is so you can get double the limit. And he would only harvest his limit, and he would never take an extra limit with me. But he would teach me how to point the gun and how safety was utmost, and how the gun is always loaded, no matter if you just unloaded it.
Yes, and that way you'll treat it as if it's loaded and you won't have an accidental discharge.
Correct. And my mom would not let me go deer hunting until I was 18, and then I went with one of my uncles. And, of course, I got a nice deer the first time out. I got a nice 8-point. But then shortly after that, I went into the service and was stationed in Germany, and deer hunting got put in the back burner.
But trout fishing has always been on the front burner for you, and we'll come back to trout fishing, but before we forget, talk about butternuts. Now, what is your plan with butternuts this coming spring?
Well, I stopped over at the state forestry place in Boscobel, and they told me they get bushels of butternuts in, and they also grow seedlings, and I'm trying to find a bunch of butternuts, and I've already cleared out one of my pockets of my fishing vest, and I've decided in 2025 I'm going to put 20 butternuts in my pocket and take them with every time I go trout fishing, and I'm going to do a little bit of a Johnny Appleseed, but with butternuts.
Cool. Well, that sounds like a great project.
Butternuts have really declined since 1967. There are 80% fewer butternuts. There's a canker that grows around the trunk, and it girdles the tree, and it causes the tree to die. Some are still out there. They're about as rare as tiger trout. And I did some research, and I'm actively looking for butternuts. If any of you listeners have a few, I wouldn't mind having them. And maybe someday I'll take you trout fishing, and I can point out where your tree is growing.
Well, Len, I will look for butternuts this fall. I don't see many in the woods, but if I find any, I'll save them for you.
I have my friend Dale Schultz, who's got a farm out in Sauk County, looking for some butternuts for me today, even.
Cool. Well, let's wrap up by getting back to trout. Now, you posted on your Stream of Time Facebook page a story called Shangri-La Creek. I won't ask you to read the whole thing, but can you tell us what that story's about?
Well, it's stumbling on a trout stream while you are checking bank poles on the Kickapoo River. My father, about 10 years straight, he would put bank poles for a catfish on the Kickapoo, and daily he would go down and check some. And he would start before all the vegetation grew up, and on one of his treks downstream, he noticed a tiny feeder creek coming in that he hadn't seen before. It was hidden by the vegetation in years past. So he put a couple bank poles about 20 yards downstream because he knew that the temperature difference from a trout stream going into a main branch of the Kickapoo attracted predators. It attracted pike. It attracted big trout. And he went down the next morning to check the bank poles. Both of them were empty, but he decided to throw some lures. A Meps French spinner, which was his favorite, he threw it right exactly where that tiny feeder stream came in, and he hammered the trout. He caught two giant trout over 20 inches and one that was so big, I remember him telling me it looked like it had lost a fight with an air hose. And then after he'd switched over to daredevils and stick baits, he caught three massive pike, one nearly 40 inches, and he told me that it looked like it had swallowed a boot. It was, its stomach was so distended. So when we got home, I assisted cleaning all fish, and we went right to the big pike first. I wanted to see what made its stomach so weird shaped. There were two 12-inch brown trout in its stomach, and the rest of the stomach is full of little fingerling brook trout.
Wow.
So that little trickle had to have brook trout in it, but it was just so small, the headwater is where the brook trout are located. And that was the summer of 1967 that happened. And my uncle even came down and fished with him there, and they caught huge brook trout there. When brook trout get really big, they can't live in these tiny little streams, and they move out into what I call thermals. And there's more food for the brook trout to eat and the browns. And we played mad scientist after we cleaned them and looked at their stomach contents. The browns all were loaded with brook trout in their stomachs, and the brooks all had frogs and crabs and different kind of bugs.
Mm-hmm.
It was like an anatomy lesson, what they eat.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Len, we got to let you go. But it's always fascinating to talk with you. And if people are interested in getting a copy of your book Yesterday and Tomorrow, how can they do that?
Well, I always have a few riding in the back seat of my car, and they're also on Amazon. And my other two books are there too, and my other two books are in a box in my back seat too. I love talking about fishing.
I know you do.
If you buy a book, I might talk your ear off.
Well, Len, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing those butternuts grow if you get to plant some next spring. And, you know, we haven't fished now in about 10 years, haven't fished together. I think we better get out next year sometime.
It can't happen soon enough.
All right. Well, Len, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we will keep in touch.
Thanks for having me on.
You're quite welcome. Folks, that was Len Harris. He's an outdoor writer and a great storyteller, as you gathered. And you can find more about Len and his writing on Facebook at Len Harris or The Stream of Time. You can message him there if you're interested in getting one of his books. And, of course, you can also find them on Amazon. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Step outside. Let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to three waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot Breakwater Falls, 22-foot LaSalle Falls, and Washburn Falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. Huntworthgear.com. That's Huntworthgear.com.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Hi, my name is Dr. Allie Anderson, an audiologist with Professional Hearing Care. I myself know how much fun it is to be at deer camp telling stories and playing cards. However, when you have a hearing loss, it can be very difficult and taxing on the brain long term. If you or a loved one has been experiencing hearing loss or tinnitus, give our clinic a call at 608-292-4916 or go to profhearingcare.com to book a free consultation.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Tom Miller Electric is your fully licensed and insured master electrician in the Northwoods. With over 30 years' experience, they're the folks to call for in-home and business wiring, switches, fixtures, and electric repair. They can take care of your hunting shack electrical, too. Lights in the outhouse? Call Tom Miller Electric. Wishing everyone a safe and successful hunting season, Tom Miller Electric. Call 715-762-3250 or 715-661-2257.
Experience the magic of the season at Hometown Holiday in Glidden on Saturday, November 30th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. This festive event is packed with nonstop activities, Christmas music, and, of course, a special visit from Santa Claus. Kids will love the Crafty Kids Corner and Fun Zone, held at the Assembly of God Church, where creativity and laughter abound. Meanwhile, families can join the exciting Santa Fun Run, a delightful trek through town that leads you from business to business as you collect puzzle pieces for a chance to win amazing prizes. Discover holiday treasures and unique finds from over 30 crafters spread across 9 locations. Plus, try your luck with several raffles, including a thrilling 50-50 raffle. Santa himself will be available to meet and greet from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Glidden School campus, making for perfect holiday photo opportunities. Wrap up the day in style by watching the parade on Grant Street at 5:15 p.m., a joyful spectacle to close out the celebrations. For more details, visit GliddenWI.org/hometownholiday. Don't miss this magical day of hometown cheer.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discussed, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires compatible devices. Not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Wisconsin's firearms deer season opens this weekend, and a lot of folks know that when you purchase a license or you renew a recreational vehicle or boat registration, and you can do those, of course, online or in person, there's also the option of making a donation to the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund. And joining us to talk about that is David Clutter. He's the executive director of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin, and their website, especially for the Cherish Fund, is wisconservation.org/cherish. Well, David, welcome back to the Outdoors Radio Network, and thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Dan, as always.
You're quite welcome. Now, we've talked before, but for folks who might have missed that or have forgotten, can you tell us briefly what is the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund?
The Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund is a legislated endowment. Back in 2012, Act 148, which was an act, it was actually the only bipartisan and unanimous piece of legislation that passed that year, but the Natural Resources Foundation and DNR approached the legislature about creating a permanent endowed fund that would support public land management. That was passed in 2012. Now, the Cherish Fund is funded by voluntary donations, often made through the Go Wild system. So when folks are getting their hunting or fishing license, they can make a $2 donation, $5 donation, $50 donation. And then those dollars are invested by TIAA in a permanently endowed fund. And then on an annual basis, the Natural Resources Foundation makes distributions to the DNR for public land management.
Yeah, it's a great system, and it's been going on now for a decade. And what kind of money are we talking about? How much have you gathered, and how is it used?
When I came back to the foundation about 5 years ago, the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoor Fund was about $1 million. And in these past 5 years, it's grown by another $2 million. So currently, the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoor Fund, between market growth as well as additional donations, is up to about $3 million. This past year, we made distributions to the tune of about $80,000 to 5 different projects. So it's a fund that's growing thanks to the generosity of people that make donations to the fund, and we're putting those dollars back on the ground in high priority restoration projects throughout the state.
Now, contributions are voluntary. I would imagine you know what percentage of people actually contribute. Can you talk about those numbers?
Yeah, we've seen numbers between 1%, in certain years up to 5%. These tend to be small donations, so if folks are able and willing to make a $2 donation on top of, you know, buying their hunting or fishing license, that makes a big difference. And, you know, the more money we get into Cherish, the more money we can distribute and put on the ground to do things like remove invasive species and improve habitat for game species as well as, you know, threatened and endangered species.
Now, this money is used to help manage public land. And isn't that the responsibility of the DNR?
It is, of course. But in a lot of cases, particularly with the Natural Heritage Conservation Bureau, much of their money that they secure for land restoration and management is grant money. It's soft money. So there's very little sort of money available for NHC to manage land. So, you know, wildlife, they have some pots of money. You know, Pippin Robertson, of course, is a big pot of money that's used. But there are a lot of needs throughout the state, particularly in these fire-dependent communities in the south, you know, oak savanna systems and so on. Even oak woods, you know, they need fire, they need restoration, they need invasive species control. So the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund is yet another opportunity to secure some resources to manage our public lands because we simply don't have enough. And the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin was founded in 1986 as a friends group to the DNR, really to raise funds for public land management. And though we do put about $1 million on the ground a year, that's great. Probably two-thirds of that goes into restoration management, threatened and endangered species work. But it's just not enough. We just need far greater investment in our public land management.
I understand the Cherish Fund actually funded 5 projects this year in 24.
Yeah, that's right. And I should just back up and say one thing, too, is that, you know, the DNR makes recommendations on sort of where to put these Cherish dollars, but there is a stakeholder group, and this year it was, you know, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Ducks Unlimited, Pheasants Forever, Whitetails Unlimited, the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Partnership, and Wisconsin Waterfowl Association that advises then the DNR on where to put these dollars. So the DNR will bring projects to the fore, and then the stakeholder group will essentially vote on those projects that are funded. And this year we had projects funded in Calumet County, Dane, Florence County, Sauk County, and Vilas County. And a lot of that was just good old-fashioned, you know, invasive species management, whether exotic or native, but really trying to improve habitats by, you know, simulating the efforts of fire, for instance, or actually using fire in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar with some of these projects or some of these areas. Florence County, Spread Eagle Barrens, we did a couple of shows up there many, many years ago, and that's a vast area that's really post-logging era wild lands. There isn't a lot of development up there.
No, it's a fascinating landscape. It's a globally significant bracken grassland and barrens habitat. So it's bracken fern. Mm-hmm. These open areas as if it were prairie, but it's bracken fern rather than grasses. So it's just this really unique landscape. It is, too, you know, to a certain extent, a fire-dependent landscape as well. So prescribed fire is an important tool in managing lands like Spread Eagle Barrens.
Uh-huh. And down in Sauk County, what was going on there?
Well, this is funding for the Sauk Prairie State Recreation Area. And this is a big grassland habitat, of course, directly adjacent to South Bluff at Devil's Lake State Park. And they're really working on removing shrubbery or shrubs in this area, whether they're native invasives like gray dogwood or buckthorn, you know, which is an exotic invasive.
Mm-hmm.
So really sort of clearing that stuff out and, again, creating some continuity between Ho-Chunk-owned land, state-owned land. And it's a great project. Again, more of a grassland project, shrub removal, and then ultimately there'll be fire used in those areas to help maintain, you know, that open character of the landscape over time.
Now, most of our listeners who are deer hunters have already bought their license, and they're listening to this on the weekend. They're already hunting, but many people buy an additional antlerless permit throughout the season and looking forward to next year. So how can we contribute to the Cherish Fund if we're going to be buying a new license?
Well, the Go Wild system, when you check out, there is a box at the end when you pay, and it just says, you know, if you'd like to make a voluntary contribution to the Cherished Wisconsin Outdoor Fund, please put the amount here, and then they'll just add that amount when you check out. So that's really a very easy way of donating to Cherish. The other is you could donate directly to the foundation. Even though all the funds are commingled, we have a legislated fund, which is the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoor Fund. We do have the non-legislated pot of money as well, which is all commingled, of course, but you would make a donation directly to the Natural Resources Foundation through the website that you had stated earlier, which is wisconservation.org/cherish. And so that's another way of making a voluntary contribution. And if you make the contribution directly to the foundation, it is a tax-deductible gift as well.
All right. Well, David, thanks so much for this update, and keep on the good work. It's fantastic what you folks are doing. And I generally, when I buy a doe tag or a turkey permit, I do the donation checkbox, and I hope other listeners do as well. And it's kind of a painless way to make a difference, actually, because these $2, $5 donations, they add up, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, think about if you get 25% of people giving right now, it's between 1% and 5%. That'd make a huge difference. And the nice thing about the Cherished Wisconsin Outdoor Fund is it is a permanent endowment. So that corpus stays there. And we just keep making these distributions year after year. So the larger that corpus grows, the more we can put on the ground.
Fantastic. Well, keep up the good work. We will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. That was David Clutter, folks. David is the executive director of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. To learn more about their work and to donate, you can go to wisconservation.org/cherish. And as he mentioned, you can also donate $2, $5, $100, or whatever you like when you purchase a hunting license or a recreational vehicle registration or any DNR service on your Go Wild account. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Every year there are commercials reminding everyone to hunt safely. But the truth is, it's not up to everyone. It's up to you. Treat all firearms as if loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target and what's beyond, and keep your finger outside the trigger guard until it's safe to shoot. Hunting safety is up to you. Don't just be aware of these safety measures, follow them. Safe hunting is no accident. Learn more from the Wisconsin DNR at dnr.wi.gov.
Pappas Trading Post is Southern Wisconsin's number one Matthews and Mission archery retailer. Located just west of Arena on Highway 14, they have a full-service pro shop, a 40-yard indoor range, a large selection of archery accessories, and a full assortment of Matthews apparel. Their expert staff can tune your bow for top performance. Gear up for bow season at Pappas Trading Post. Look for the two giant arrows and stop at Pappas Trading Post on Highway 14 west of Arena, or visit PappasTradingPost.com.
Since our inception, Huntworth has worked relentlessly to incorporate innovative technologies and forward-thinking design into affordable camouflage apparel. Our gear, designed with the Disruption Camo pattern, utilizes computer-generated graphics featuring a high level of random and abstract visual noise to help you remain undetected in the environment. So whether you need the latest in hunting gear technology or clothing that just simply fits your lifestyle, Huntworth gear is what you're looking for. HuntworthGear.com. That's HuntworthGear.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Plan some trail riding fun in Florence County. Try the 17-acre ATV park with hills, mud puddles, and dunes near Fisher Lake. Hike to three waterfalls from Trail F5, 60-foot breakwater falls, 22-foot LaSalle falls, and Washburn falls. Camping options include several ATV-UTV-friendly campgrounds. Come take a ride. For more info, go to the Recreation tab at exploreflorencecounty.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. They have new and used boats, pontoons, lifts in stock, and great deals on 2024 model boats and pontoons, including Dan's slightly used 1750 Fishhawk. Crestliner also announced rebate on XF and Retriever John boat models, and Cedar Lake Sales has several in stock. They also have winterizing supplies, or you can drop off your boat and let them do it for you. We're also brought to you by Huntworth Gear, performance camo wear at a price you can afford, huntworthgear.com, and by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, Fitchburg, and now Green Bay, profhearingcare.com.
And just a heads up, Cedar Lake Sales is closed on Saturday the 23rd, which is, of course, opening day of gun season, and today for most listeners. And they'll be closed on Thanksgiving and Friday after Thanksgiving. Check their website for store hours. If our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And if you missed my Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV special, it's airing on many local Wisconsin cable stations and on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
If you missed anything on today's show, you can check it out online at lake-link.com. Go to the Outdoor Radio page and find it there. You can also check us out at outdoornews.com/podcasts. Dan's on social media at Dan Small Outdoors. You can find me at Hardwater Jeff.
Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. For more on Warren and his music and a schedule of his upcoming performances, visit warrennelson.com. Jeff, good luck this weekend. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. To all you deer hunters, good luck and stay safe out there. Everybody else, watch for deer and wear orange if you're outside. Get outside this weekend and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Leaning into local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media station. This is 98Q Country.
You're tuned in to the broadcast ministry of Cornerstone Church in Ramsey, Michigan. We're glad you're with us today. Now let's join Pastor Todd as we allow God's Word to build our faith.
Good morning. It's great to have you with us again. Each week I look forward to being able to take this 30 minutes and share with you the wonderful message of Christ, the wonderful good news. You know, I've been thinking about in this last week especially how we're called to walk in blessings. And how oftentimes what we do is we step into those places of curses or darkness or places of the things of the past. And I think it resonates, especially in the message that I want to share with you this morning, is about things that we've had spoken to us or about us or over us in the past. And especially as young as children. And so what I realized more and more is that I disagree with every curse, with every lie, with every point of judgment and condemnation that has been a part of the past, and I step into the promises that Christ has for me, that I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, and I step into the blessings. And see, the wonderful truth about this is, and it's so simple that no one can be confused by it, is that I only can give what I've been given. And so when I receive God's blessings over my life, then I have the ability then to bless others. But when I take in the curses of the past, the curses that the enemy speaks around or about us or over us, I give out those curses. And so today I'm challenged that I'm called to walk in the blessings of God and then to be able to share those blessings with others. And so this morning I believe that God wants to silence the curses of hell that have been arrayed against you, and he wants to enact the blessings that of heaven. You know, when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, our Father in heaven, it bases in relationship. And I want to talk with you about that when we have a Father in heaven, we are all children. And that when we agree with the kingdom of heaven and we agree with what God wants to do in heaven and let it be accomplished in our lives, we step out of the curse of darkness and death, and we step into the wonderful blessings of heaven, the wonderful blessings of life, the blessings that a future that God has for us. And so we're going to this morning read some of the parameters, some of the boundaries that God has given and God has enacted from Psalms chapter 127 and 128. And we're going to talk about the wonderful favor of God for this generation that we're in right now and for the one that will come following us. Because I see so many people living in a place of despair and hopelessness for this generation and for the one that will follow. But today I have the wonderful message of Christ that says, I've called you, I've created you, and